off! Turn it off! For God's sake, turn it off!
Emotional damage!
Hello, everyone, and welcome! It is Thursday, January 12th at 8:02 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are live. We are the Godfathers of Podcasting. In case y'all didn't know, we've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. As always, archives of this show are available on all your favorite podcast providers, Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon. And the video archives are exclusively available on our website, godfathersofpodcasting.com. You can send us a text message. You can send us a WhatsApp. The number is up on the screen right now. It's 437-375-2000. We want to hear from you. Send us your feedback. Send us your questions. Either for us or tonight's guests, whatever you like. My name is Donnie DeSilva, ladies and gentlemen, and it is my honor, it is my privilege to introduce the Amos to my Andy, the Tom to my Jerry, the Laverne to my Shirley, the Black to my Decker. This is my boy, Notorious T.I.G., Chris Tidwell.
What's up? I would have gone with my the Lenny to my Squiggy.
Ooh, that's a good one. Laverne and Shirley, right? Felt better, though. Here were the stars.
The Ralph to my Potsy.
Ooh, that's a good one. Right. Ralph Mouth.
Yeah. Potsy Weber.
Really dating ourselves with these references.
Whatever. Somebody's got to date me.
How you doing, brother?
New year, same me.
New year, same you.
Yeah,
that was the case last week when we did our first show of 2023, which you've probably already forgotten.
Listen, I wanted to admit, because this is usually the time that a lot of people forget about their resolutions.
Resolutions are done. And I was at the gym yesterday. It was empty.
Really?
Resolutions are done. The gym was empty.
Yeah. So I wanted everybody to know that I'm still sticking with my resolution, that it's going to be New Year, same me. That's going to be my resolution the entire year. So
literally your resolution is status quo.
Absolutely. And this year for Lent, I will give up Lent. Which not being Catholic,
such a devout practicer of his faith,
which not being none. Catholic, not being Catholic makes it very easy for me to give up Lent. Right. Let's go, right? Rock and roll 2023. Let's do this.
There should be an atheist version of Lent. Atheist Lent. You should celebrate.
It's called Saturday.
What are you giving up on Saturday?
Sleep.
Give up something.
Sleep and liver.
Well, liver, just don't kill
there you
her.
Go that's what you came back with, dude.
I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
437-375-2000 if you want to send us a message and you want to get at us. We already have a text message, Tid. It came in on WhatsApp and it is from Tony, you got to tell us where you're writing
with an I, with a Y,
T O N Y, T O N Y.
Tony.
Tony.
An E with the long fucking E at the end. Tony.
E's.
Yeah.
Tony with three E's. Tony says, guys, I follow you on social. I love the show. I love the new logo. So Tony, that is a perfect segue for what I actually wanted to talk about right off the hop. Yes, a few days ago. On our social media channels, on Godfathers of Podcasting at Instagram, on my personal social, Godfather Donnie, on Tid's Notorious TID, we unveiled the new logo for the program, which is up on the screen. Wait, that way? That way. It's up on the screen right now. And that logo did prompt Tid some questions from people. The most obvious of which is, so there's only two Godfathers now? because the old logo, which I have handy here, right?
You have a spare to go with the one behind you.
That's right. The old logo featured three silhouettes.
Correct.
And for the better part of 2022, we weren't really a three-person show. Our bro Danny O, who we started the program with, has been really busy and super unreliable, a bit of a dick. I'm just kidding.
No, the short answer is very simple. There's still three Godfathers. One of them just happens to be very, very busy right now. And it's not either of us losers with nothing else going on in our lives, but to sit here and talk to all of y'all. So you're welcome.
So on that note, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear from our bro Danny O.
What up, Donnie? What up, Ted? It's your bro, Danny O, man, and I know it's been a long time, but firstly, I just wanted to holler at you guys and say I love the new logo. It looks way better than the three silhouettes we had before, which weren't even us. This is more original. This shows your chemistry, your energy, and your brethrenship, man, and it also shows that you guys are carrying on the torch, man, and I'm proud of you for that. So I wanted to say congratulations, man. Thanks for continuing the show and doing what you guys are doing. You guys are doing amazingly while I'm holding the fort down and making new music. Thank you for always supporting me and showing me love, and you know it's always support and love from your bro, Danny O, as well. Congratulations on the big things that I know are coming for the podcast, man. I'm excited for them, and hopefully we'll be getting up soon. Peace, guys.
Yeah, so in case anyone should think that there's any kind of heat or beef, which is the stupidest thing ever, because we've actually had that question come in a few times this week, Tid.
Well, there might be now.
Oh, really? Why? What did he say that triggered you?
Carrying
the torch?
The fuck are we carrying the torch? Motherfucker.
We lit that torch. He couldn't even reach the torch. He's so short.
This motherfucker can't, like, he doesn't know how to work a lighter. Son of a, carry that torch.
I'm dead. Oh my God.
I can't wait to hear the new stuff that he's got coming out. I look forward to it.
You know, I'm so glad you carry the torch. You can't even work a lighter.
This motherfucker, right?
So good. It's all love with our bro, Danny O.
Dan is better currently... use that line. Use that line someplace.
Yeah, that's a lyric, man.
Right?
He's currently finishing a new album. And he's also got a movie that's coming out, which is going to be on Disney Plus, and you'll see him in there. He's busy, man, and we're very proud of him. Dan's been our boy for.
Did he shave and he's playing a 6-year old?
He's Mickey Mouse. Live action Mickey Mouse. Yeah, he didn't need any prosthetic or special effects or CGI or anything.
Tremendous.
You're perfect.
Perfect.
Awesome. Ted, yeah. I think that, you know, the fact that we've got a new look, a new brand, the fact that we've got big things on the horizon in 2023, I think all of this calls for a celebration. And I was thinking to myself, you know, normally what you and I do is we'll crack open a beer, do our virtual cheers, and off we go. But
yeah.
There is a new viral sensation that is sweeping the nation this week, Mr. Tidwell. And that is one of my all-time favorite actors, Tom Hanks. He was on Stephen Chet Colbert's Hanks. Show this week. What's that?
Oh, Chet Hanks.
No. Tom Hanks.
Okay.
Was on Stephen Colbert talking about how he celebrated New Year's Eve.
Okay.
And he said he's not a big drinker. He loves his Diet Coke, diet because he's type 2 diabetes. And when everyone else was toasting on New Year's Eve, he held up his Diet Coke and said to the server, waiter, whoever was walking by, he said, "Hey, just throw a little champagne in there." And they're like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" No. And he claims it is delightful. And Stephen Colbert tried it on the air and he concurred that it was delightful. So, Ted, Since we have cause to celebrate, I figured, why don't we do the new drink of 2023 that Tom Hanks has called Diet Cocaine. Coke and champagne.
You have some Diet Coke right there, huh?
I have Diet Coke. I'm going to pour. This is not like a Tom Collins class or anything. But
it's weird.
His recommendation was the glass would be about 2/3 full of Diet Coke. Which, by the way, I fucking hate Diet Coke.
It's funny that you should say that, Donnie. Because I happen to have some Zero Coke.
Oh, Coke Zero's here. Shit, I love that stuff.
It's all hot garbage, if you ask me.
And I've got an extremely expensive bottle of champagne here.
Yeah, thank you for sending this to me.
You're welcome, dude.
I appreciate you.
I figured if we're gonna
Everybody heard that sound? That was the sound of the screw top.
Nothing says expensive champagne like a screw top.
All right. And then it's supposed to be some of the champagne in with the.
I mean, he said a shot, but I think whatever. Like, fill it up, man.
You know? All right. You're supposed to use your dirty finger to stir it up.
I didn't bring a stir gimmick.
It looks horrible.
It's got an amber hue.
It looks like Coca-Cola. It just has extra bubbles in it right now.
All right. Cheers.
This is a horrible idea, I think.
Let's do it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That.
It's not the worst thing I've ever had. I wouldn't
really.
I wouldn't call it delightful.
What is the worst thing that you've ever had then? Like the asshole of a dead animal?
One time I was home alone and I was pleasure. Never mind.
And you got some in yourself, huh? Thankfully, I came prepared with a bottle of Terramana.
Oh, you got a Terramana chaser?
And
some Pabst PBR.
Blue Ribbon. Thank you very much. That's the wonderful, beautiful people at Pabst Blue Ribbon. Feel free to send us whatever you like to godfathersofpodcasting.com. And those of you listening out there, please get them to send us stuff. So chasers need to be had after that. That was horrible.
I'm going to keep drinking it. I'm going to drink it all show long. Maybe I'll get fucked up. Never been drunk on the air.
I feel like that's a recipe for disaster if you try to drink too many of those because the amount of bubbles, right? It's horrible. True. And
might have an upset tummy.
The gut rot.
In other news, ladies and gentlemen, PETA is asking Georgia football, Georgia of the NCAA, for those of you that are not sports fans, is a college football team. They're asking Georgia football to stop using a live dog, a bulldog, right, as their mascot.
Well, they want a dead one?
They say, well, no, they want a guy in a suit or something.
Oh, okay.
A fucking cartoon character. I don't know. They don't want any live dogs to be the actual mascots. They say it increases the demand for these breathing impaired dogs.
Bulldogs and Frenchies and those flat faced dogs. So, okay, let me get this straight. So they're asking Georgia to stop doing this because they think that Georgia is responsible for breeding, for people wanting to breed these types of dogs. So basically what they're saying is that they don't want people to breed these types of dogs. So these dogs will no longer exist anymore. So now what you're telling me is that PETA stands for, people for the ethnic termination of animals.
Jesus.
Huh? Because that's what they're asking people to do. They're asking people to terminate breeds of dogs. That is the silliest thing ever.
It is kind of a weird flex. Like, I
fuck
get
you,
it,
PETA.
I get what they're saying. You know, they don't.
That is ridiculous. It is absolutely
I don't even know
ridiculous.
Anything about
I
don't even
this
know
is Uggy 10. This is Ugg 10. Uggy 10. There's been 10 of these things.
Are bulldogs a Are they a naturally occurring breed, or are they one of these
man-made? No, they've been, like, that is some toxic Avenger shit.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
So that's part of their problem, is they feel 100%. Like.
Absolutely.
You've got this mutant mutt
who
is prone to health issues. And they don't want more of them to be sired.
Listen, you're supposed to you're telling me that all of these dogs, like there's all of these different breeds, but the master breed that they all came from, basically wolves, right? The wildest of the wild dog that they all came from was wolves, right? Mm-hmm. Motherfucker, I have a Chihuahua. Explain that. How did a Chihuahua come from a wolf? I have an all-white Maltese.
Chihuahua's like what the wolf eats.
I have an all-white Maltese. Not a chance in hell that was ever a wolf.
You're a Maltese.
So every dog has been bastardized to some extent. Bulldogs, extremely bad, though. Think about it. You go and you got to get a... What do you want to get when you get a dog? You get a purebred. Everybody wants to get a purebred. Yeah. Fucking purebred. That's
dude. I fell in love with a guy's French bulldog the other day.
A purebred, right?
This guy I met.
Think about what a fucking purebred is. Would you do that to it with a human family? That's called inbreeding. But we'd want. Oh yeah, we got to get that purebred.
No mixing of the breeds.
Exactly. It's ridiculous.
It's very southern.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
I met this guy.
Very royal family.
I met this guy at a New Year's Eve party, and he had his little black French bulldog that was there. I fell in love with this thing, man.
Yeah, like, they're psychopaths.
Oh my, no, this thing was the sweetest little ball of fluff. I was like, oh my God. I went online and immediately tried to buy one. And then I sobered up and said, fuck
yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Did you even get around to watching the Dahmer movie?
The movie or the series?
The series. My bad.
Yeah, I watched some of it. Okay. I did not finish watching it because it made me angry.
Okay. So I never watched
it. Because I know the story. I lived through the story. I was around at that time. You know what I mean? Right. I'm old enough to comprehend it when it was happening. I remember.
Exactly. So Evan Peters this week, he won the Golden Globe for Best Actor for his role in Dahmer.
It's brilliant.
I haven't seen Dahmer. I can't comment. I do like Evan Peters. I think he's a very talented actor.
Yeah.
The family of one of the victims of Jeffrey Dahmer came out and said Evan Peters failed, and he should have used his acceptance speech to tell Hollywood to stop making movies and shows about killers because it glorifies them and puts them into, you know, a different category of person.
Hold on. Let me get this straight.
Go ahead.
He's supposed to go up there and say, thank you very much, Hollywood. Thank you very much, everybody that voted. I appreciate you. I appreciate the time. I appreciate the job. Please give me no more jobs.
If you want me to play the Unabomber, I'm out.
Give me no more money, please. That is just not going to happen.
And it's not even
I understand. It's a tragedy.
About him. That's not his. I don't feel that's his role.
That's not his job. That's not his job in the world. You know what I mean? Yes. Listen, use this opportunity. Use this opportunity that he and the people that made the show, they've brought this back to the light. Use this opportunity to remind people of the atrocities. Don't bitch at him for making the movie. Don't bitch at the movie people for making the movie, for making the series. Use this as your opportunity to re-remind people of the ugliness that was Dahmer and the ugliness that happened to your family. Right?
I don't know. I didn't look this up. Did Netflix donate any money to the families?
I don't know.
That they should have done. We should research that. We should find out if that happened. Because if it didn't happen... That should happen. Yeah. Where's our producer?
Probably at the strip joint again.
Ted, let's hire a producer.
I did.
I will say this. If Evan Peters had actually done that, it may have helped ratings because the Golden Globes had their lowest ratings ever.
Really? And I Gerard, say, man, Gerard Carmichael wasn't a hit with his Whitney Houston jokes.
I'm not a big fan of awards shows in general. I think they're all very sanitized and boring and way too long.
What's your favorite one out of all of them? Like, you an Oscars? Are you an Oscars guy? Are you like a People's Choice Award guy?
I guess the Grammys.
The Grammys, because it's music?
I guess. But even that, like, they, you know... And now, the recipient for the Grammy for Best Folk Spoken Word or Heavy Metal Rap Concept. Like, they do these stupid things where they mash five categories together.
Right. Your nominees are Natalie Imbruglia and ICP.
Yeah, exactly. so,
do you have a stroke?
I just don't like award shows, but apparently neither do a lot of the people that were nominated ended up winning. Zendaya, Amanda Seyfried, Kevin Costner, they all won Golden Globes and weren't even in the house. They got better shit to do.
You think that had anything to do with the weather? Because we got to remember, Hollywood flooded out, right? Like, that part of the world is flooded out. The hills are like a mess, apparently, in some parts. And people have been told, weren't they told, that they got to leave their homes? Like, I think it was like Whoopi and Ellen and some of the other people. So I'm sure a lot of people bounced. So there's nobody in Hollywood, right? And Kevin Spacey ain't hanging out there. He's in Monaco when there's a flood happening. You know what I'm saying? He's fishing.
One of the biggest stories from the Golden Globes was Eddie Murphy speaking. Brilliant. He is one of the funniest stand-ups, one of the most accomplished actors of all time. He's now at that
time gimmick,
I guess. And now he's at that stage in his life where he can, you know, reflect, be the provider of sage advice.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a little clip from Eddie Murphy at the Golden Globes.
I'm going to wrap it up and just say something to all the new up-and-coming dreamers and artists that are in the room tonight. I want to let you know that there is a definitive blueprint that you can follow to achieve success, prosperity, longevity, and peace of mind. It's a blueprint, and I followed it my whole career. It's very simple. There's three things. You just do these three things. Pay your taxes, mind your business, and keep Will Smith's wife's name out your mouth!
I'm disappointed in Eddie with that clip.
Why?
Because the Chris Rock wife jokes, man, they're so old. Like, let's move on, bro. He's one of the funniest men that ever lived. He could do better. That's low-hanging fruit. That fruit is on the grass. It's so low. That fruit fell off the tree last year and rotted. Come on, Eddie, you're better than that.
What would you have gone with?
I don't, like, I'm not going to purport to be Eddie's scriptwriter, okay? But I'm just saying it could have been a little more, like, he could have just gone completely straight. He was doing this beautiful provider of sage advice gimmick. Mm-hmm. It would have been lovely. People are expecting a punchline. He doesn't have to give a punchline. Mm-hmm. Then he took the easiest punchline there was. And the thing that really pissed me off is the director didn't cut to a shot of Will Smith. How do you not cut to a shot of Will Smith? I want to see his face. He's sitting right there.
I think he could have. There's really two ways you could have gone, because I don't think so. Because the other side of it, who else could he have gone after? What are the two biggest stories in Hollywood going on right now? Right. It's the slap. So it's the attack. Right. With Will Smith. What doesn't matter. It's still only a year old. The other one is the story with Kanye and the Jewish community, correct?
And that feels like...
Exactly, okay, but those are the two biggest stories. Those are the two choices. Those are your two choices when you go up there and you got to make some easy money off of this thing, right? See what I did there? Eddie Murphy, easy money. What are you going to pick out of those two? Are you going to go after Will Smith, who's sitting right there? Because, listen, I'm telling you straight up, Chris Rock is one thing. Will Smith stands up and goes at Eddie Murphy. He's getting shot before he hits the bottom stairs.
Yeah, Will will be in a hospital.
1,000%. That's Eddie fucking Murphy. You know what I'm saying? That is the equivalency of what happened when Dr. Dre told, Marjorie Taylor Greene she couldn't use his song during one of her video things, and she backed down like a bitch instantly. And Dre was like, yep, that's what I thought. You don't know nothing about nothing.
Before we get to our featured guests, I know that you were glowing this week, which you don't usually react this way when you watch a new movie, but you loved The Menu.
Yeah, I actually did. If it was longer, I would have watched more of it. It was fantastic.
How long did you want it to be?
I don't know. I could have got another hour out of it, probably.
Wow.
It was twisted. It was dark. It starts off with, the worst of intentions. It hit everything that I needed in this movie.
Absolutely. Was there Diet Coke and champagne on the menu?
No. So the story is a group of people get invited to a private island.
Yes.
For a chef's, his biggest masterpiece.
Right.
It's art.
He's like a Michelin star chef.
Yeah. Right? And he's been talking to these people for months and setting it up and getting to know them and everything like that, and invited a very certain few people. John Leguizamo is in it. It's hilarious.
Love John Leguizamo.
Right. It's a dope ass movie. It's a dope ass movie. If you're an adult.
Does it turn into a bit of a murder mystery, whodunit type game?
No, there's no question about whodunit. Okay. I mean, I'm not giving away any spoil. How long has it been out? It's been out for a minute, right? I'm not giving away any spoilers.
I haven't seen it yet, so shut your stupid, filthy little mouth.
All right. Well, the chef creates his greatest meal ever.
Okay. Leave it there. Did you go see Avatar?
What?
Avatar, like the biggest movie on the planet right now.
The Last Stylebender?
No. Why do you have to be that guy? Why do you have to be too cool for school? It's a beautiful film.
I did not go see it. I did not go see it because for a couple of reasons, but most importantly, I'm an adult. And it would be very creepy for me to go sit in a theater by myself watching Avatar.
No, it's not.
Really? Did you bring a child?
God. No.
You went and saw by yourself around a bunch of children.
Actually, yes, I did. I did go with a child. I went with my little boy. But there were no other children in the theater.
You rented the entire place just for you and your kid?
Shut up. You're such a loser. It's a beautiful film, folks.
How was it? Was it lovely?
Let me tell you something.
Tell me something.
10 times better than the first Avatar film. When I saw the first Avatar film, I was like, okay, it's a spectacle. It's dances with wolves in space. It's cute. I had no desire to see a sequel. And when they said there was going to be 5 of them, I was like, what are you pranking me? But now after the second one, I'm like, bring it on. I want all the sequels. Make a mini series. Do whatever you want. I'm here for it, baby. I love it.
When was it? 2009?
Long time ago. Yeah. Yeah.
The original?
Yeah.
I don't fucking remember when that fucking movie came out the first time.
So go rewatch the original.
Why? I didn't watch it then, I bet.
You have no idea.
I already watched
so much weed. You have no idea.
Bro, I already watched shows about blue people. It's called Smurfs.
Oh, yeah. It's exactly the same. You're missing nothing.
Exactly.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time right now for the big hello. And tonight's guests are two of the absolute sweetest people in all of music, but they're also the reason I cry at night. They were both blessed with perfect pitch, the ability to play virtually any instrument and sing like angels and live out my childhood rock star dreams. And I have a podcast. It's so unfair. I first became aware of these two people more than a year ago when I saw them perform live with Sky Wallace. Since that time, I've become an absolute super fan of their two-person band. See, look, I rock their merch.
Yeah.
I represent. How do you not love a band with lyrics that feel intimate but not corny, romantic but not unrealistic, and completely authentic? Unfortunately, We don't have a great research team here to validate this, but they might actually be the only band ever to have a turkey audio track on a song. I'm not sure. In 2020, they did something that may never be repeated, releasing a new song every single week of the year. Guinness, get on that. They also may be of the belief that I'm flakier than homemade pie crust, because a few weeks ago we had dinner plans and I had to cancel the day of because my uvula had swollen to the size of a basketball. I know it sounded like fake news, but guys, I swear to God it wasn't. So when we do the rain check, first round of drinks are on me. They're releasing their newest single on January 20th and a music video for that a week later. And I honestly think it is my favorite song that they've ever released. I'm not sure if the name of their band is a thinly veiled edible reference, a covert hint that a maternal figure employed by the government has been conducting tests that literally changed who they are at the molecular level, or if it's an ode to their individual matriarchs. Most likely, all theories incorrect. We'll find out. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone loves them from here to Vietnam. Their hot new single, I Swear It, Is the Bomb. Kids are gonna play it up at their prom, or it might end up in a sassy rom-com. I wanna play it loud on the slopes of Tremblant. Got a spicy new video, you'll be a peeping Tom. Atheist Christians or my brother's Islam, give it up for Gina and Devin. They are altered by mom.
Pew, 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 pew.
Wow, what an intro. What
can
we even say?
That was amazing. Thanks. Now you need to be in the band.
What's that?
Now you need to be in the band.
Oh, I would love to be in the band. Can we please do that?
Yeah. We'll figure
can
out.
We do it? Like, listen, if I know that you guys are musical geniuses, if you can carve out a song where you make like a really integral triangle part that's part of the hook,
Nice.
I can belt out a triangle beat, and like maybe I can do like a little ASMR or something in the hook. Ooh. You know, you could build that in.
You would have to go from being musical geniuses to being musical gods to ever have him sound good.
They could do
the
it
power.
Like challenge accepted. Is this what I'm hearing here?
The collab could be called Altered by Dawn.
Oh,
that's not
it.
So
writes
bad.
Itself.
That is not so bad.
It writes itself.
Oh, how boy. Are you guys?
Good. Thank you so much for having us. Nice to see you guys.
You know I'm a huge fan. Tid, he couldn't care less, but me, I'm a big fan.
I'm not a fan I'll of Donnie it. At all, to be honest.
No.
It's understandable. I was so excited. What was it, a week ago or so, when you guys sent me the preview link for your new song? It's so good. It's so good. I'm Thank so you. Excited for everyone to hear this.
I'm so excited too. It's the first thing we're releasing since 2021. 2000. Who says it like that? 2021.
Yeah. The year
I'm
of
dating
our
myself.
King.
The year of our Lord.
Yeah. In 2000.
Yeah. You know, it took us a second to want to like release more music. We released a whole bunch in 2020, right, as you pointed out. And
2020.
Yeah, 2020 for our elder listeners, or our East Coast listeners. Maybe you say it that way out there.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, and I think just eventually, you know, we felt like we had some stuff to say again. Gina's been on a hot writing streak recently. So this is started out as one of her tunes, and we just like Altered by Momized it. And now here we are.
Okay, so
did
let me
burn you out? Like, did it burn you out a little
bit?
The
52 like, songs in the year.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
At what point? Was it a mission? Like from the beginning, we're gonna do this for 52 weeks. And at what point were you like, oh my god, can the end of this come any sooner?
Week three.
Yeah, totally.
Like, yeah. At what point was it like regret?
I mean, there were definitely moments during the time that we were doing it that we were just like, how are we going to keep up this pace? Like, how are we going to do this? But you know what? Without sounding pompous or anything, there was never a point where I was like, I hate this. Like, it was never no fun. You know, there was always something that was really cool. Like whether we got to co-write with somebody or whether we just got to kind of throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. You know, we kind of left genre in the rearview mirror and just did whatever we wanted because we had the license to do it. So yeah, it kind of felt fun. I don't know. Did you ever find there was a moment?
I could have done another 12 weeks.
Wow.
Before I broke a sweat.
Yeah.
We just prepared. We just, once we were in the midst of it, we prepared. So we had stuff. And I have to say, we had like some little bits left over. And the funny thing is, coming back to writing these new songs, we haven't touched those bits yet. They just sort of, it was like, feels like they were of a time made then, and we're just creating everything new and fresh now.
Do you guys feel like moments? I would have murdered my spouse at like week four.
You know, like, what?
There would have been who can poison each other's food faster.
Yeah. So far, so good. I think we're immune to poison now.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we've had it in little doses all through that process. Nice.
No, it actually
microdosing immunity poison. To Iocane powder.
Microdosing poison.
So it actually was really great for how we write together and, you know, and how we write songs individually and then how we collaborate and also like songwriting with other people, because Zoom was a whole thing. So we got to do that.
Yeah.
So that actually, it actually worked out kind of nice.
Devin, you said something that sort of sparked a thought in my head. Your lyric writing process, whether it's you or Gina, is it a situation where you're going to sit down and you're going to say, all right, I've got a concept in mind and I'm not getting up till I got all these lyrics down? Or is it bits and pieces come to you at different times, and then it's like, pick up my phone and write down this idea before I forget it, or sing it into my phone and record it so I remember it later because it just came to me in the shower? Like, how does that inspiration hit you? Does it hit you in dribs and drabs? Does it hit you all at once? Is it like divine intervention? It's like, oh my God, this is so good, and it's all flowing through me right now.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think you actually had all the answers. I think what we've discovered, just as songwriters in general, but especially with this, is like, there could be a lot of ways to start. Sometimes I'll be doing something else. I'll be trying to watch a movie, something like that. And my brain just starts going. I'll hear a phrase or I'll get an idea from the movie, from something else. It's just going off and it's off to the races in my own head. And a song is done before I can stop it. Other times we might say, okay, we're sitting down intentionally, maybe with somebody else, to do a co-write. So in that case, it might be a case of like, what little bits do I have? What's something that I started that I didn't finish? I'm also constantly cataloging. I think you do this too. If I have something that is just a half-formed idea, I jot it down in a voice memo or in a notepad. Mm. I have that. So sometimes it's a matter of, okay, I got a really cool sound from this keyboard and a song is coming out, but I'm thinking about the sound and I got a cool melody. What little lyric bit do I have? And then it's just grabbing that. Okay, I'm going to run with that. And so often, I'll use a gibberish lyric too in place. And so often those gibberish lyrics end up sticking around or becoming the favorite one. And then I'm trying to think, I don't know if it happened in Dive In, but in one of the other new songs, we were kind of like, okay, here's a filler lyric. It's kind of funny, but it's got to have this number of syllables and sort of rhyme with this. Right. And it ended up being my favorite line of the whole song. So
that's so funny. I love that.
When did you, Devin, find, just Gina, your old hat, we talked to you before. When,
he's such a dick.
I'm kidding. But this, I have,
I'm going to get
Michelle. At what age did you like, like,
oh, when now you chased her off. Way process. To go, asshole.
Yeah. Cool. All right, the guys can talk. So at what age, like, because you have a process. Your mind, I can tell, like, just from talking to you now, your mind is going a million miles a minute when you're putting stuff together like it's a computer in your eyes, but it's for music, right?
Yeah,
When did this start for you, though? Like, when did you start driving your parents crazy with it?
Yeah, I think pretty early on. Mm-hmm. I think just always. I started, my dad is also a musician and my mom is musical, but wouldn't say she's got a professional musician route, but she can sing. She likes to sing. My dad's a musician. So I think early on, I was able to like introduce, here's a microphone and a four track. I had a four track in grade six and I was covering songs. I had to wait till everyone else in the house had left before I would sing because I was too embarrassed. Here's a good story about that. Then you can have the next one. So I was singing a song that I called at the time Mind Unstable. Because, you know, when you're like 13 or 14, you're just like, yeah, this rocks. And the end of this song had a part where I was going to scream, Mind Unstable, Mind Unstable. So I'm waiting in my house till everybody's gone. Finally, there's a day, you know, my mom's gone out grocery shopping. My dad's away. My sister's not there. So I'm recording the vocals. I'm doing this thing. Mind unstable, mind unstable. All of a sudden, my mom basically kicks down the door and comes rushing in to see if I'm okay. So what had happened from her perspective, she had gotten home from grocery shopping, coming to the front door, and she's like, I'm home. I've got my headphones on. And I'm screaming this song in my bedroom. She's like, I'm home. And I just yell. What she heard was, my nuts, they ball. She's like, what? What? And I'm like, my nuts, they ball. And
she
I'm
was like, coming to help.
Yeah.
So she I'm was coming to help.
Boy. She's like, do you need help? And I was like, my nuts, they ball. And
is that how you got stuff. Altered by mom?
Yeah. Yeah. We definitely altered each other in this. Okay. So she, from her perspective, she's in full mama bear mode. She goes running up. She kicks down the door only to find her teenage son, who's now like, get out of here, mom. You suck for, I can't get privacy in this house. And that sort of thing. And she's like, thinks that I've done something to my nuts or my balls or something bad.
But at the same time, but hold on. More importantly, yeah. did that tirade after the fact stay on tape?
Oh, ooh. That's a good question. I probably would have stopped it. Even back then, it was very economical.
Ah, yeah. Now you wish you had it.
Yeah,
that would have been part of your documentary.
Yeah, we should record My Nuts They Ball.
It's My Nuts They Ball.
Yeah,
My Nuts They Ball.
It's actually a pretty good song.
We should do it at your parents' house.
It sounds like a Christmas song.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, ooh, I like that.
Hey, Christmas ball.
Now this is just going to make my trauma worse, because in the intro when I said you guys are part of the reason I cry at night because of my lack of talent, here you are as a sixth grader recording on a four track and kicking ass. I was just trying to not get boners in gym. Like, yeah. I was just trying to pee in the bowl in grade six. And yeah. Like, that was a good day, you know, and you're sitting here doing four track mixes and holy
yeah,
shit.
They didn't sound very good. If it's any consolation,
they were still better than, you know, my pee on the floor. So, although my pee on the floor might be the name of my next song.
Yeah. It sounds pretty good.
I think it's got legs. Gina, what about you? Like, how early on do you remember writing your first song?
Some of my earliest music memories are, so I grew up in the country on a farm, right. Like, wasn't able to have friends.
Yes, because of the country.
Yes, because of how far, the location. Oh. The location, yeah. So I was home a lot. So I remember playing song jingles. Like, I would hear jingles on TV and then I would learn how to play the jingles on my piano and then like write little songs to those jingles that were already there because they were already so hooky and, you know, right. And then yeah, I started writing music really consciously probably when I was like 13-14. Like once I turned 14, I got a guitar and that's when I really started churning out songs. Like, that ended up being what I like to write on the most. I did write songs before that on piano, but yeah, once I got an acoustic guitar and I got my Avril Lavigne record, I was off to the races.
I love that. See, I do have memories of being as young as 15, 16, 17 years old. And like I said, always had the dream. I wanted to be a rock star and I would write songs. The problem is I had no talent to execute these songs. So then I would just hand them to chicks and go, it's a poem.
Oh. You know, I started writing poems too before I started writing songs. That's actually like
same shit.
Super connected, right? Exactly. Like
everybody loves Jim Morrison. Yeah.
Devin, you said something before that I found really interesting, and I want to try and like psychology you a little bit if I can.
Oh, good luck.
When you said that, you know, you were like waiting for everyone to be gone so that you could sing at home and do all that. Was there a moment in your head where, like, you know, your dad's a singer and he's a musician and he's great? Did you ever think, like, well, I'm not very good because dad's so good? You know, was there ever that immediate reflection of yourself where you're looking at, like, I got to live up to that standard? That's unattainable.
I think I definitely was driven forward in music, especially on piano. That's an instrument we have in common. He's a great piano player. I started on piano. So I definitely felt that. I think I've more felt his influence as in, he was kind of like a gear guy. So he would have two or three keyboards around at any given time. And so then nice. One I could take and mess around with, that sort of thing.
Right.
You know, I had that influence. I think for me, what helped a lot with my confidence later on, although I was always pretty happy to get up on stage and perform, but I'm from Brantford, Ontario. There was an awesome little all ages music scene there, really influenced by that kind of like post Dinosaur Jr., post Sonic Youth indie rock thing, nice. Where it was about just like get up and do your thing. You don't have to be amazing. You don't have to be like technically proficient. And I even like
that,
sometimes
they called that to, like, karaoke.
You know, kind of, or just like after Pavement, it's like you get up and you're like, yeah, I suck at guitar, and that's my style, is that sort of thing. And so I, with that kind of scene, I'm like, okay, I guess I can start singing and try and do all this kind of stuff. And it just, yeah, just felt good.
Let me unpack one of the things I joked about in the intro, because we have had people ask us this right now. We do have text messages coming in at 437-375-2000. And a listener just said, okay, so how did they get their name?
Everyone wants to know.
So it's like, it started off as a goofy joke, but now people are actually asking. So is there a story here? Or was this just, you know what, let's just do gibberish and then we'll change it later. And now I like the gibberish.
Well, I like to say, so the story we feed people is we're all a little altered by mom. Okay. All of us. But that's not the
very
story.
Cute.
You can, Devin,
that's,
it is. Yeah,
it's adorable.
It's quick and concise and it pleases
I was
everybody.
More altered by uncle.
Yeah.
Altered by dad.
That happens.
Dad joke? Yeah. We don't talk about that.
Yeah, altered by Taylor. My uncle that Taylor.
Yeah, I was gonna say that inseam thing.
Oh my god, is this why you're always charging therapy to our benefits plan?
100%. Exactly. It's the only reason I took benefits.
Thank you.
Whoa, are you drinking? Was that Diet Coke
and champagne? Champagne,
what are you? Together? I was gonna ask you guys. What are you?
I just
drinking?
Identified I you, it just by looking at it.
Yeah, yeah. Come on now. See, I saw you hold up a glass. What are you?
Devin's
drinking?
On top of the viral sensations. Yeah. I'm topping That's it off right
is
now.
Is that what that actually is?
Yeah. This is the Tom Hanks viral drink.
We're drinking whiskey.
We're drinking.
Good for you. What kind of whiskey?
We're drinking our own urine.
Okay.
All right. Drinking each other's urine in order to gain each other's powers.
Yeah. See who can live the longest.
Which means I'll shrink.
It's the new vampire.
I'm more interested in what kind of whiskey because I'm a whiskey head.
It's Maker's Mark.
Oh, I love Maker's. That's good shit.
Nice little thing.
It's a nice
But tonight, I'm only drinking the Diet Cocaine. The Diet Coke.
And is that's the name of it? The Diet Cocaine?
Diet Cocaine.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Diet Coke and champagne. And you know what? Tim hated it.
Yeah, it's horrible. Well, I had to go with zero sugar.
Coke Zero.
So it's Z cocaine. So
the aspartame makes it
It is like Coca-Cola, first of all, is horrible.
Would you stop? That's a hate
cola.
Crime.
Cola is horrible. Why would you mix it with any kind of alcohol?
But
that's
it's
abuse.
Coca-Cola. So it's there.
And not anymore.
It's literally the most favorite mix on the planet, you big heathen.
No.
Is this
not true?
Is this a Coke and Pepsi argument? Because
he doesn't like soda at all.
I see. Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
He's just drinking his tequila straight up over there.
That's true. Oh, it's empty now, by the way. Oh, yeah. It started off not empty at the beginning of the show, but it's empty now.
That's why I just do it. Heartburn and all. That's what I want, though. That's just straight stuff.
Exactly. Exactly. If I'm gonna beat myself up a little bit on it, right? If I'm gonna suffer through it, I'm gonna suffer and I'm gonna taste every bit of it. I'm not gonna
I'm not gonna
alter it. It's not gonna be my drink is not altered by Tid.
That's right. It's unaltered.
Are you guys drinking those Maker's Marks neat or on the rocks?
This is on a rock.
On a rock. Yeah.
On a rock.
Single rock.
Big old rock.
That actually looks beautiful to me right now, I gotta say.
I like that. Okay, so Devin, please tell me the true story.
In any musician, in many musicians' lives, most musicians' lives.
In the year of 2000.
Yeah. Our Lord. Whenever it was. Dark and stormy night. Rain pouring down on the moors. So in any musician's life, there may often come a point where you think to yourself, okay, this isn't working. I got to get a quote-unquote real job. Because we probably spend 900 hours a week on this, but a real job makes... make some money, contribute to society, become a normal, quote-unquote, regular, quote-unquote, person. I had one of these moments back before Altered by Mom started. And I whipped up a resume, and I sent it off to my mom, who's a good judge of resumes, would have some lasting feedback. Okay. And she edited it and sent it back to me with the file name was altered by mom.doc. And I didn't even open it. I never saw her edits. I just started a band. I was like, that's a sign. I'm starting a band. And I recorded some music later that day. Started playing around Vancouver. Got some radio support out there. It was very strange. Came to Toronto with some songs that I had long abandoned. Short abandoned, I guess. And Gina was like, hey, these aren't so bad. And the rest is history.
So you were altered by mom before Gina was altered by mom?
I suppose, but not for any worthy amount of time.
Okay.
You know?
Gina, is Devin a mama's boy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
like disturbingly so, but that you have to put him in check? Awesome.
So I totally get it. Like, I love his mom, too. I'm a his mama's boy also.
Yeah, but I mean, you're an East Coaster, though, right?
Yes, fine.
So, like, it's different out there.
Is
you know
it?
What I mean? There's not mama's boys out there.
No, you not really.
I mean? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Right?
No, yeah. So. You love your mom. It's just a well-known thing. You know, you gotta go home for mom. You gotta go home see her Christmas.
Mm. No, and that's cool. I'm not, but my little brother is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely. You know what I mean? So it's cool.
Yeah. No, it's great. I love it. I love that.
Lucky bastards.
Yeah, I mean,
what can you do?
Both of his folks are just so supportive and wonderful, and yeah, they're both wonderful. They come to our shows whenever they can, and yeah, they're lovely.
We just got a WhatsApp at 437-375-2000. Hey guys, just discovered your music and I'm loving it. Can you please tell me your thoughts on the passing of Jeff Beck?
I mean, tragic, super tragic. What was he like, late 70s? Like, that's awful. I mean, yeah, a huge loss. You know, anytime you lose a great talent like that, and he actually is connected to a whole bunch of people. You know, I'm seeing all these great interviews pop up from people, you know, who do wonderful podcasts like you guys, and, you know, getting to hear about all this information that I didn't know about him before. So it's, yeah, I mean, it's always tragic losing anybody in an artistic way. Yeah, I don't know.
This is so embarrassing, but during high school, when I was like, I'm only into punk rock and local bands, and if anybody else has ever heard of something, it's no good. I thought I was like such a music expert. And I remember having a conversation because I was also into, like, before that I'd been to like Columbia House, where you just get all these CDs. Like, I was mad.
Yeah.
You needed to collect it all, get as much as you could. But I didn't realize until this conversation, I was talking to somebody about Beck and about Jeff Beck. I was like,
yeah.
You see where I'm going with this? I'm just like, oh yeah, Jeff Beck, pretty cool, pretty long career. I would prefer his later stuff, like when he just goes by Beck. It's got like a fresher sound. And the person I was talking to is like, you are a very adorable dumb teenager.
Adorable. Fucking adorable is the word for that. Wow. Yeah.
So not to say that.
But you know what? Like, you know, thankfully, Jeff Beck got to live out his childhood dream and get on stage with Johnny Depp.
Yeah, that's of Johnny Depp. That's how you go. Really, that's the hill he's gonna die on, is supporting Johnny Depp. Literally, in this case,
right?
I love learning that you're a bit of a music savant. Is that still the case? Like, are you a guy that if I'm going to trivia night, I'm bringing you with me for all the music questions?
No, I can't.
Not if
anymore.
He thinks that Beck and Jeff Beck are the
Who you want is Gina, who actually is what everybody thought I was back then. She's a total music encyclopedia. If the trivia night is like late 90s bands from Seattle,
nice.
Or from Brampton,
that was my
I could probably do that. But.
So, like The Accused.
Never heard of them. Were they from Brantford?
They're from Seattle.
Yeah.
They're That's a punk nice. Band from Seattle.
Gina's like, yes, of course. I have
refuse.
All the wrong.
Truck. I'm just going to change the subject. To the Refuse.
Grunt Truck. They were another one from that way.
Yeah.
I used to live in Spokane, Washington for years.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Amazing. That's cool.
When you talk about that teenage angsty approach to music, like once other people like them, I hate them.
Yeah.
Like I went through that too, like everyone did, which actually lends itself, that whole mindset, to one of my favorite lyrics of all time. It's not the band I hate, it's their fans.
Yeah.
One of the greatest lines ever by Sloan. And like, I
oh my God, I breathed that shit in. I was like,
There's a really good song by the High Five and Song.
Oh, Local H.
Local H, yeah, okay. Yeah. So there's this band called Local H, and there's this song. I don't know if you can swear on this podcast.
Fuck no. You just can't say fuck.
Okay. Yeah. So it's called, is it called High Five?
High Five and MF.
High Five called. And Motherfucker. And yeah. It's excellent. And it talks about that. So he talks about how he's basically describing a fan. And he's like, you know, he's like, you have stupid acid wash jeans. And like, you just want to high five me. It's like, you have. It's really good. Anyway, it's exactly that. So one to check out. It's an excellent song.
They had like a moment of fame where people were like, you're just a Nirvana clone. Well, and it's true. They desperately want to be Nirvana.
Yeah.
But like a poppier, sillier, maybe not poppier, but a sillier Nirvana. Because Nirvana was never that silly. And Local Age is very silly.
But just as hard as like Nirvana's hard stuff. Yeah. Like, it's good.
There's one album of theirs I love, and I tried the rest. I don't like it. It's so weird when there's like, they were two-piece back then, and the guitar guy like split up his signal into bass and guitar and did all these fancy.
Yeah, it's cool.
Tricks. And then
you brought a question to mind just now when you said that about Nirvana not being silly. If people find out about Altered by Mom before they take the time to go listen to your music, do people ever assume that you're just a parody band, that you're doing comedy shtick? Because that seems to be what comes from a lot of two-piece bands, right?
Interesting. No, I mean, we have an element of comedy in our writing and maybe how we kind of carry ourselves, you know, in the way of that we don't take ourselves too seriously.
It's just authentic. It's not silly.
I think we're just a little silly. Like, I think that's just who we are, and we don't, you know, and I mean, we have a song called I'm Gonna Send a Smoked Salmon to Moncton. So, you know what I mean? Like, we have silly
until
songs.
This single comes out, our most recent single is a Christmas song that we did with a comedian.
Yeah. So that's the other thing too. We're not too far separated from that world. You know, we did do a comedy song. So no one's said it out front, like when they first meet us, they're not like, oh, you're that comedy duo. But I mean, you know, people, once they dive into our catalog, they discover quickly that we do not follow any rules.
So I feel like maybe we're like pretty funny for a quote unquote serious band. But if we were a comedy band, we would not be funny enough.
No, we'd be
too. You know, like then... Like, some of these songs are depressing.
That's kind of like us, right? We're not a comedy podcast, but we're funnier than other people that are doing shitty podcasts.
Totally.
Donnie is not funny at all.
No.
But he looks good in that merch, though.
He does.
That is good, huh? Where can you get that? Where can you get that?
At just one go to an
Altered by Mom show.
Yeah, you got to come. You're on the list.
What's the goal for this year?
You've already been to one. The goal for this year, we're releasing a new EP. So, you know, get some ears on that and play lots of shows and go all over the world.
Yeah. Love it. Lots of singles rolling out up to an EP. Maybe we'll make it a record. Who knows? Probably an EP.
I think it's an EP.
Get on a soundtrack.
People enough music. Yeah. I mean, get into more TV shows. We've had some songs placed in
Kim's Convenience
and shows like Kim's and some other places. Right. So like, that's always cool. That could be a neat avenue to get people exposed to the music.
We're just
gonna be in people's faces for once. I think we've been a little polite. We've been a Canadian band being like,
you've been a little punk rock, like, it's okay, people will find the music, man.
Kind of
yeah.
Now it's time to get in their fucking faces, right?
Yeah, we tried that. Now let's try some work.
Get your eyes off the top of your shoes and start looking people in the face.
That's right. That's right.
Funny enough, my shoes is very interesting.
Tid and I had that same heart to heart a couple weeks ago. It's like, enough of the punk rock podcast. It's time to get in people's faces a little bit more.
Yeah, it feels good, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to reference a text message that came in, but it didn't come in on the Godfathers of Podcasting hotline. It came in on Tid's personal cell phone. Tid, before we went on air, you got a text from a friend of yours that said he knows Gina. And I'm trying to figure out, is he the person that the song was titled after, the I Dated an Idiot?
It is true, because I could see how it would happen. And let me see. You know what? Let's play a fucking game.
Just to try to guess who texted you.
I like this game. I'm in.
She's from Pictou County, same as me. Okay. She got her start at the same hometown radio station as I did.
Mm.
She quit radio to pursue music full time. We hung out when she worked at Sirius in Toronto.
Oh.
Whoa. And they're from Pictou?
Somebody from Pictou.
And all they still work in radio.
They still work in. Oh, is it Ben?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
What a nerd. Sorry.
What up, Ben? Yeah, Ben's awesome. Sweet. Pre-savers.
So is it? So is that it? Is that it?
Is Ben the idiot you dated?
Dated an idiot?
Oh no, we never dated.
Not yet, at least. No. You know.
Sorry, Ben.
Devin's holding out hope.
Oh yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, totally.
Options are long. Life is long.
Yeah.
Do you ever have that? Do you ever have that problem? You know, you bring that up. You ever have that problem where people like want to come up to you at a show and are you swingers? Try to come up that way. You know what I mean?
It like, could be more of a problem. Like you could bring it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'd love for that to become our notable problem.
I would too.
All right. Well, there it is. It's out there.
It doesn't not happen. You know, there's especially like playing with the Sky Wallace band, all of us together. We're so ridiculously in love with each other, all of us, that no one knows who's dating anybody and will often assume the wrong couples, but they wouldn't totally be wrong.
Yeah, when I saw Instagram stories of you guys on tour together, and I did reference this earlier, and for those that don't understand what we're talking about, Devin and Gina are also both members of Sky Wallace's band. Sky Wallace has been on this show before. Mm-hmm. Go back, check the archives.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She's great. Amazing, glowing light of a human. And I was watching Instagram stories of you guys when you were on tour. I think you were in Germany or something. And I'm seeing you guys and you're all hanging out. And the way every single one of you is just loving and cuddly. And I'm thinking, why doesn't Tid hold me like this?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why can't I have friends that love me like this?
You can. You can, Donnie. You can. We're here for you.
Sad. Yeah. And I'm so jealous and I cry at night because of Altered by Mom.
Get in on this. Come on.
Well, I gotta ask this, even
Donnie
though
always
know...
takes it too far though. He takes it way too far.
The cuddle puddle gets a little sloppy.
Well, like, which one of you would be the big spoon? And it has to be Donnie, right?
Yeah.
I don't know about that one. Yeah. I mean, just because he might be like a couple of inches taller or whatever, but
yeah,
just a couple.
That's about it.
Tid likes to be the little spoon.
Who's counting the inches, though? Let's be serious.
Every man.
Gina, literally, it's so it's the only reason that I moved to Canada, because of the metric system.
Nice. The number's bigger.
Yeah. 100%.
No, officer. I didn't have that much on me.
It's the metric system.
That's right. That's exactly what that story is.
I like that.
Okay, so I a quick question I want to ask you. I mentioned in the introduction that a lot of your songs, they have this, like, one of the reasons I love your music, and I'm not just saying that because you guys are on the show, I listen to your music all the time.
Aww. Thank you.
And
thank
you. Your lyrics, like, I'm a lyric nerd, okay? Like, even if I don't like a band musically, if I don't like a band melodically, if I love their lyrics, I'm going to stan them for life, right? Because I'm a lyric nerd. Deep down, I have the soul of a poet. Yeah. So when I listen to your lyrics, there's something about them that feels so intimate and so personal. And there's, to me, there's sometimes like a really relatable romantic quality to a lot of your lyrics. Not romantic, like in some songs where they're singing about, you know, I would walk a million miles for you. It's like, I wouldn't really do that. You know,
I would walk.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
Everybody had it in their head. Everybody had it in their head.
It's like, you know what? I kind of just want to kiss you right now. Like this, the lyrics feel so real and so relatable and so tangible. It's like a big warm hug with a lot of your songs. But then I wonder, like, when I think about the fact that you guys are a couple, like, you must fucking fight. You must fucking argue at some point. Like, where's that song? Like, where's the song where you're like, I'm just fucking sick of him? Like, is that song like anywhere in the catalog? Have I missed it?
That's a good question. Are they all this happy? Honestly, I don't think we fight that much, which is probably
we're not very good at it. Yeah. So we just kind of don't do it.
We're kind of and like
we're virtual good high at five. It. I love yeah, virtual I high fives it. For that, yeah. right?
Every once in a while we'll have a fight and we're both just like, well, I don't know what happens next. We're not used to this. We're like, let's just get
smoke
out of here.
A joint and get out of here.
Yeah. yeah. I think the larger answer to your question is I don't think I write personally like angry songs that often because I'm just not because
grade that... six Devin did
yeah I honestly I think I got a lot of it out then where I was just like oh I'm so mad at whatever it's like well you're just your hormones are changing your body the world is whatever but now
is
I'm
that what
like...
we blame is that what we blame on the Taylor Swift songs now
oh
is this just a hormones thing changing your body
was it yeah I don't know I don't know I mean she's
not a teenager Tid.
She's been a successful songwriter too, so yeah
so that makes you gotta worry. We got one more text message I'm gonna take at 437-375-2000. It says, hey guys, I know you've worked with Ron Hawkins from Lowest of the Low. I'm a huge Lowest of the Low fan. Do you have a great Ron Hawkins story either from the studio or just hanging out?
Oh, why don't you talk about the song that we just wrote? So that was
that a
fun
great story though.
I'm trying to think of like
I know. I mean, he's got like stories.
Oh, I'm sure.
But I'm hesitant to tell them because
to share his story.
You know what I mean? Like I don't want to like secondhand share some of
Ron,
his
we got to get you on the show, bud.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But I mean, he's just like he's the nicest dude and he's such I mean, he's an amazing you like lyrics. I mean, geez, Donnie, you must love like 100% Lowest of the Low. Like their Lowest lyrics are incredible. Yeah. We actually got to sing on their new record.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. They invited Devin and I and Sky actually for singing some backup vocals, which I'm really excited about. And then we just wrote a song with Ron that's gonna be on this new EP.
It's awesome. Yes, loving it.
It's called Gwendolyn.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Lady Gwendolyn from the year 2023.
It is. It's a march, a slow march.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, it was really he actually, which blew my mind, he had only ever written a song with one other person before he wrote with us.
Yeah. Wow. Well, once we got down to it.
That's true. He did a couple other things. He's done songwriting camps with people where he's like coached them and stuff. But he hasn't like ever really sat down and wrote songs with a lot of people,
and
which just boggles my mind because he's such a prolific songwriter.
100%. He's a fucking verbose honey.
That means he's fucking
something.
Greedy.
He wants all the words.
Yeah.
He's not fucking greedy. Yeah. He's like, whatever. Yeah.
The last time I saw you guys perform live at the Alma Combo as part of Unplugged North, he was there as the headliner. You guys were on the forum. And when he was on the mic talking in between songs, he said, Devin is a fucking genius.
He said some nice stuff then. I remember.
And I
that.
Was like,
that was
holy
nice
shit. Devin's getting a full on Hummer from Ron Hawkins in the middle of this show. And I'm here for it. Like, this is great. I was so excited for you. And I was like, holy shit, this is beautiful.
I had to get a clip of that moment. I'll give you, I thought of one good, it's only sort of incidentally a Ron Hawkins story, but Ron and I were, here's a plug for a good Vietnamese place in Toronto. We were out for lunch. At Golden Turtle, which is a fun place. Totally delicious. We were hanging out there, and Strombo, George Strombo.
Yeah, he's always there.
Always there. He came in and like...
Never heard of him.
Yeah, you know, he's a guy. And I met him a couple times. I couldn't. I don't know if I could.
Neither can he. That's his long
time. I'm going to go by Strombo. That's why.
He has to count the letters in his name to make sure he spelled it right.
But it was funny because he walked in, he saw Ron and I sitting there. He looked over, he was like, Ron, how's it going? He shook his hand. I saw him look at me, and I knew that he was like, I've met this guy a couple times, and I have literally no idea. And I saw him decide, and this is what happened. He came in, and he was like, Ron! He looked at me, and he's like, Steve! I was like, definitely not, but I'll take it. It's fine.
You know, and also a funny story. Same thing has happened between me and George, and I've slept with him.
Yeah, there you go.
That's not a lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. Wow. Yeah,
I can't blame him. I'm sure he meets 3,000. I'm the worst at remembering people's names
myself. Sleep with them. Yeah, but I'm dirty. Yeah.
Hands up if you've seen George naked.
Yeah, I mean, I'm part of the Patreon. Don't get me wrong.
I love that. Okay, we've had numerous text messages that have come in, said, guys, shut the fuck up. Can they please sing us a song?
Okay. Yeah.
Can you guys sing us a song?
Absolutely. All right, but I'm going to need you guys to be quiet while Danny and I do this.
Yeah.
A song, you say? Well, maybe.
Let's write one right now.
Love that idea. Oh, my God. Can we come back on the show and just sit here and write a song together?
Let's do it.
Live on the air? Let's fucking write a song?
Oh, yeah. Tell everybody all our secrets.
What? What rhymes with booger? Trying to...
Hooker!
Comedy song.
Sugar.
So we'll do our new one, if that's okay.
Oh, my God. I love that.
Yay!
I love that.
Okay. Awesome. So it's called Dive In. If anybody wants to pre-save it before it comes out next week, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Check out Alder by Mom at Alder by Mom.
It really helps. It's so annoying to beg, but it really is.
Yeah, it's a huge thing.
I don't mind asking for this one because I love the song so much.
Comes in like a spark, like adrenaline. A rush of blood to the head again. You gotta catch a wave, seize the moment. Gotta spin that thread till it's golden. Now I can see that you wanna count on me. And it should be as easy as 1, 2, 3. Take a breath, take another one, take another one. Why can't I just dive in? Why can't I take the leap? You always said that you believe in me. Why am I scared? What can I do? I look around and all that I see is proof. Why can't I dive in? Why can't I just dive in? This is where I'm at, trying to claim a space. Oh. Your orbit's so wide, it pulls me in. Break myself out of this tiny room. Got roughed up a bit, got a couple of bruises. I am a little late. I promise that I'll be well with the way you take a breath. Take another one, take another one. Woo! Can I dive in? Why can't I take a leap? Said that you believe in me. Why am I scared? What can I do? I look around and all that I see is proof. Why can't I dive in? Why can't I just dive in? Dive in, why can't I take the leap? You always said that you believe in me. Why am I scared? What can I do? I look around and know that I see is proof. Why can't I dive in?
I fucking love that song.
Thank you.
Thanks, I don't know what the gibberish line is that stayed in, but I love every line. And I want to find out later what that gibberish line is.
Yeah.
But I love that fucking song. And by the way, everyone is going to love the fucking video because unless my eyes deceive me, there's some naked Gina running around.
There's a naked Gina in it.
There's some naked fucking Gina in this video.
Yeah. We were filming the video and our drummer, Chris, who's totally awesome. He was there because there's some band shots in it. And I got to the end and Gina does dive into some water, in the cold, freezing cold water.
Just for your listeners. Just
because it's kind of awesome, but she was doing that last scene, and we were there. I remember this moment because Gina was just like, "You might see my boobs. Sorry, Chris."
No, I said, "Sorry, Chris. You're gonna see my tits. Yeah. Love you."
And then Chris looked over at me, kind of going, huh? And I was like, oh, it's all right. Like,
we're swingers.
Yeah, it's not up to me. Like, you can,
they're great. Whatever.
They're totally great.
I fucking love it.
They're exquisite.
Thank you.
You know.
Which leads to our final text message of the night before we say goodnight. It says, holy fuck, so fucking sexy. There's no way you're wearing a bra with that top, Devin.
Devin.
It's true. There's nothing under here, you know?
Nothing but scary stories.
Guys, you are both fucking wonderful, lovely people.
Thank you for that.
Right back at
you. We feel the same way about the two of you.
So equally. That's not true. I'm so envious of all your gifts and all your talents. And I want to spend time hanging around you and hoping that some of it drips onto me by osmosis, that I can somehow, like, maybe you guys can teach me how to play, like, you know, a harmonica.
The weirdest that's really hard to try to invite yourself into a threesome, Donnie.
Just say it.
Whatever.
Come to our audience of entirely swingers shows.
Apparently, that's a thing that's happening in 2023. So I'm here.
Tid's mad he didn't say it first.
2023. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What is that? One sounds so wrong.
Fucking grow up.
I know.
Grow up.
No. Jesus.
As we say goodnight, altered by mom, tell everyone out there where they can find you online, please, where they can go to do the pre-save of Dive In, where they can get more information, where they can see you performing live. Give them the lowdown, and we'll get the information up on godfathersofpodcasting.com.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us. Thanks, you guys are both amazing. So at Altered by Mom everywhere. Instagram is where we're most active. You can check out, there's lots of links there. And then also on Facebook. And we have, the video comes out on January 27th. So look out for that. And we have a show at the Dakota. We're supporting the Sarandons. We're on at 11:30. Make sure you check them out, though. There's the release party at the Dakota on Saturday, January 28th. So we hope to see you all
where
there.
Where is the Dakota?
It's at Ossington and Dundas.
Yeah.
Toronto. Yeah.
Toronto.
Yeah. In Toronto. Toronto. Yes.
Global audience.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Yes, of course. Right, yes. Of course. In Toronto. Sorry. It's in Toronto, but you should go.
Is that, is that the
smaller? Thank you very much. Jesus.
Is that the same weekend we're going to see the Trues in Buffalo?
What weekend was that again? Yes.
Oh, East Coast boys, the Trues. Love them.
Yeah. They're awesome. They just sell on the record when they play it.
We had John Angus on last week, and I love that guy to death. So,
love that guy.
Tid, if we're going to do the Trues on Friday, then we could finish the weekend off with Altered by Mom.
My liver doesn't mind.
Not bad. Not a bad idea.
And I've already told you, Donnie, I'm not driving.
I know.
I already warned you.
I'll go, but I'm not driving.
Yeah. Perfect. I don't care. I gotta be to do grown-up things by Monday morning. So as long as that happens, then you know the rest is on you, bro.
Devin, Gina, thank you so much. And absolutely, when we get together for dinner, first round of drinks are on me because I still feel guilty about the last second cancellation.
Glad you're feeling
died.
Better.
It's fine.
I was so sick. It was
God. I wished so hard.
Well, I'm glad you're okay.
He's just mad because I won't let him be Little Spoon.
Yeah, he never buys a first round of drinks for me.
You know what we do? Just start kissing and it all goes away.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. That's nice. I like
that. There you go. There you go.
You went the wrong way. Look at this guy.
This is all new to me. It's very experimental.
2023. Here we go.
It's the year.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Sorry to those that texted that we couldn't get to, but thanks to Devin and Gina for hanging out.
Thanks, y'all. Nice chatting with you.
You guys rule.
Great to talk to everybody.
There they go, guys. They're Altered by Mom. I'm Altered by Don. He's Altered by Tid. And thank you so much for being Altered by the Godfathers this week. Episode 121 is in the books. We are so grateful to all of you for hanging out with us tonight. Remember, archives of this show, if you want to go back and listen to it again, if you missed any part of it, are available on every major podcast provider, all the same places you can go and listen to Altered by Mom. Our show is there as well. So make sure you do both. Listen to them, listen to us, support us, like, subscribe, do all that shit. Tid, any last thoughts?
Take care, brush your hair, fuck off.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
What?
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
I'm rich, bitch.
Don't mind me, I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Alright then. I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.